You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 42. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
In this week's episode, we'll be discussing results from 1E regional events by Section 31 agents.
So, as we discussed last week, we had our local Southern California 2009 1E regional, and we had our first foray into the new continuing committee revised format, which Jeremy Commander has been hard at work trying to establish something that will create a unified format, as it seems most of the pockets of 1E players around the country have sort of splintered into their own local formats. So having gone over this, we've definitely taken a good look at it and been preparing our decks. Most of our player community here has gone into it mostly with mixed feelings, you know, a lot of skepticism, but a degree of willingness to give it a try. On the whole, I don't think that those feelings have changed. Most of us, I think, still skeptical, but I don't know. What is it? How did you come out with that, Dan?
Yeah, you know, I posted a few times on the boards in support of the revised format. I've been a bit of a cheerleader. I've accepted the branding of revisionist from the boards. I thought that was pretty funny. But I didn't have a good time at the tournament. I probably went into it with the worst possible affiliation to jump from our format, the SoCal 3030, to the revised. I lost an awful lot of seeds, and the deck that I'm using needs a lot of seeds, so I didn't have a lot of cue the refs to play with. It was just pretty rough. It was a long day. I was really looking forward to there were a couple of points that I know Jeremy was going to shoot for this format, and one of them was to have a clean play environment. And to me, that means if for some reason I don't have a ref pile, that's okay because I won't need it. And that was certainly not the case because I pulled refs. I had referee people in just about every game. I had Going to the Tops played on me. I had Distortion of Space Time Continuous played on me. I had multiple special downloads per turn, but I want to say it steps in the right direction from open, but I don't think it's not where it needs to be. I'm glad it's still in an open beta so we can still talk about this and make some improvements.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Having won all my games, that's not true. Having gone undefeated, I had one tie, but and winning the tournament, I still cannot say that I really had a positive experience with this format. Especially my first two games, I felt on edge the whole time. Am I going to run out of ref cards? Am I going to need a ref card here? Should I spend it now? I'm going to have to wait for it. And I just don't feel like that is a part of the game that we need anymore. The seed card swing, sure, fine. You know, we can go back to losing our free seed slots that we've gotten in our local format. But man, ref cards need to be free.
I think we can adapt to that. But we have a guest. We actually have Jeremy here to talk about the format, talk about, you know, some of the problems that we had, and
here to answer for his crimes. answer our questions.
Yes,
that's a fair assessment. Lots of different groups are applying their own kind of homebrew rules or homestyle rules, and the majority of groups tell me that they are not interested in playing open. My local group tell me they're not really interested in playing open. I hear from you guys that you're not really interested in playing open. I hear from New York that they're not really that excited about open. Sweden, not interested in open. Germany has balance of power, because they're not happy with Open. I heard from Kevin Yeager and the Minnesota crew that they were excited about Revised and a different way to play other than Open. And so the problem, one of the problems that Winnie is facing is that in Open, there's a high level of competition, and that's good. But a lot of people don't want to play 1E like that. They don't want to play the super competitive, bloody, tear-you-apart 1E. They're looking for a more casual, more fun experience. And so we need a kind of a Type 2 format that's more fun to play and less about, you know, knowing what's the right ref card or anti-combo to play. So I'm very interested to hear. So the main thing that's bothering you is that you still have to use referee cards. This is what's really bothering you about the format. You'd like to play a format where you don't have to use any referee cards. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess that's the goal. I mean, when I sit down, I like to think that, yeah, here's the ref pile. The reason why we're playing with it is so that when you were making a deck, you thought, well, my opponent's going to have a ref pile, so I better not do it X, Y, and Z. I don't want the cards to be banned, but I don't think they, you know, one of the things I like about our environment down here in Southern California, it's laid back, and usually I don't have to worry about it. Every once in a while it'll pop up, but that's, you know, that's why we have the pile to begin with. It's okay to come back every once in a while, but I don't want to have to worry about ref depletion and whether or not I should ref you for this incident when something worse could be happening sooner.
So my next question for you is, what price are you willing to pay in order to have the need for fewer ref cards in the game? You just told me that you're not willing to pay the ban price.
$29.95. Like I said, the deck I played was probably the worst to fairly judge the format, and I did not start with a cue the ref in play. I either downloaded as a card draw or hoped that I went to go second because I couldn't afford a seed slot. Now, if I was playing a different deck, I probably would have seeded to cue the refs, and then it wouldn't have been as much of an issue. I still would have been worried. There's a player in every group that would do this kind of thing. Right. I feel
true.
And that
every group has one.
Yeah, to hit me with three things on one turn. You know, going to the top, okay, I'll ref you on that. Okay, fine. Now I'm going to attempt this mission with one person. All right, I'll village it with torches. Ha ha. And now I've used my last cue, the ref, and, you know, he does a cue bypass. So that's what I'm worried about. That's what I don't want to see. I don't know what to do to make that threat go away.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, that we don't know what to do. We do that in our format, and I'm sure everybody is going to have that reaction to whatever it is they don't like about Revise. Is like, well, in our format, but to answer our own question, since that is the thing that we've had a lot of problems with, that's what we do. You know, there is a stack of every, you know, you can have every ref card in your cue stack, and when something triggers, that's a text of a cue card, you go pull it out. It doesn't cost you a seed card. It doesn't cost you a card draw. It doesn't cost you an action or anything. There's nothing that can prevent it. There's nothing that can nullify it. You go, you get it out, you play it, and that's it. That action is gone.
In effect, every cue card is a rule in the game that you can activate at any time. Because it doesn't cost you anything to seed it or to activate it. It's pretty much just there, as if it was a rule.
Yes.
My main concern with that is that when my interviews with returning players, they haven't played one in a long time and are not familiar with the ref cards, or with new players who have no idea what the ref cards do, or with more casual players or crossover 2E players or whatever, is that they really don't know what the ref cards do. And there's 30 ref cards, and they target 60 more cards. It's 100 cards and 100 card interactions that you have to know in order to use those. So though I'm not opposed to the idea of a very accessible, very easy-to-use referee side deck, I'm being told by the players I interview that are new to the game or coming back to the game that this makes it harder for them to play. They have to know when to use these ref cards and when to bring them out.
Well, I don't think that holds up, because if this rule is in effect such that I can go get a ref card at any time and play it on you, you're not going to put those cards in your deck, or you're not going to try something that I would be required to do that. So a new player doesn't have to worry about it, because the meta will solve that problem.
That's true. That was the hope for Revise. The hope that was with all the referee cards on tap at all times, and that you have Tribunal of Q, making the cost of ref cards very low, that ref cards would indeed meta out. And the reports I'm hearing so far is that that's not happened. That instead, people are still seeing how much they can exploit that, and what kind of abuse they can get away with. And then there are other forms of abuse that aren't addressed by any referee cards, like Hirogen capture loops or Hexany or things like that.
Yeah, I'm sure that if one tournament does not a meta make, so I can't say that. Three tournaments from now, as we continue on testing Revise, that by the third time everyone's going to realize that, well, if everyone's going to see two Q the refs, it might as well be free, and it's not worth it. I just don't, it's tough to see into the future like that.
Yeah. The reverse of that is also true. Is as the meta develops, you start to realize, okay, everybody is playing with two Qs. So if I can figure out, three really provoking actions that people will definitely use their cues on, so that I can get them out of the way to get to what I really want to do, then I can still pull off whatever it is I want to pull off that is against a ref card.
Well, let's move on to another kind of issue that we had, and that is interrupts. There were still a lot of interrupts being played. One of the decks used a lot of the Hexany cards. One of the reasons I liked our format again was Highlander really limited the number of times you could do something. We did some talking afterward. Most of the players were really happy getting away from the limit of Highlander for noun cards, personnel, ships, equipment. I mean, we could play Dominion because you could have more than one white, but the interrupts were just—it was rough. We'd like to see them limited more, and we'd like to see them go away after you use them.
So let me share. You're saying that the rule of four for interrupts and the interrupt rule, where you can't play one of this one in your discard pile, is not strict enough to deal with interrupt abuse, in particular recursion.
There was never a point where if my opponent wanted to play an interrupt, he did not have a way of getting it out of his discard pile, either into hand or somewhere else. Yes.
Cool. So it was very easy for them to play interrupts over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I've got proposed from various feedback sources is that the rule of two should extend to interrupts as well. So your deck can't contain more than two copies of any dilemma, artifact, or interrupts. And that after being played, interrupts should be removed from the game. And this would replace the existing interrupt rule. Would you think that would be enough to make the format a little bit more fun for you to play in?
Yeah, I think that gets a lot closer to the format that we had the most fun in of Highlander. I mean, two copies is similar enough to one copy that I would be happy with it. I was happy with it for the seed cards or for the dilemmas and artifacts. And going out of play would solve, most of the problems that I had. So, yes.
Got it. So I got to tell you, I have some groups telling me that that they should raise the rule of four to a rule of six or a rule of seven because it's too restrictive. I have some groups telling me that the rule of two for dilemmas is far too liberal and it needs to be a rule of one. While other groups are telling me that the rule of four for dilemmas is more than sufficient and this rule of two stuff is ridiculous. And I have a lot of groups telling me that the interrupt rule is way too restrictive I've got to lighten that one up. Otherwise, it's not going to cut it. I also want to pick your brain about the quadrant hopping rule. Because that's got a lot of mixed format, too. It seems people either love that or hate that. How did you guys feel about that one?
Well, go ahead.
Most of our interaction was in the Alpha Quadrant with the exception of Dan. And I think you mainly used the wormhole, didn't you?
Maybe in our game, but in other games, I did use the quadrant hopping rule just on its own. If it just so happens that the mission I wanted to get to was at the end of the space line, My primary way was using the Bajoran wormhole, so I would use the quadrant hopping rule if the mission I wanted to get to was at the end of the space line, because pretty much it's the same thing. There were only two missions in the Gamma Quadrant, so I was already at the end of the space line. I moved to another one. I was using the quadrant hopping rule to get to the Delta Quadrant to do another established Dominion fit hold as well.
from what I'm hearing, 1A right now breaks down into kind of two main groups. And this is an overgeneralization, but on one side, I have some very hardcore open players who really don't want to play anything but open. They really like the idea of having a hard time figuring out what ref cards to stock and when to play them and beating each other up with Hexany and Shellyak Q and things like that. And they really enjoy that, and they don't want to simplify the game or clean it up at all because they really like that high-level competition. On the other side, I have a lot of 2E players who tell me that they have no interest in playing 1E because there's just too much cheese. And new players tell me, well, you know what, this game is way too complicated. I got to learn all this errata. I got to learn all these referee cards. It's just too much for me to get into this game. And I have a lot of returning players telling the same thing. Well, you know, I left 1E because of this or that bothered me and all the cheese, and I come back to the environment and it's still really abusive and I'm not that interested. So I'm looking at different ways that I can provide a cleaner, funner environment to appeal to the 2E players, the more casual players, and to new players. I want to express that open's not going away. Open is not threatened. I'm not banning open and I'm not taking it away. It'll always be there for the high-level players who want to, you know, tear each other apart in open. But I'm hearing from the majority of Trek players out there that they don't want to play open. They want a more casual, more fun environment to play in.
We look forward to we're scheduling another revised tournament so we can get a little more used to the format. We might try changing up one of the rules, make the interrupts a little more restrictive, since that seems to be the way we like to play. Maybe we can provide some good feedback from what we work with.
And with that, I think we have reached the limit of our intelligence for this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt, we will send our customary shout-out to Warp 11.
We'd also like to thank Jeremy for stopping in.
I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will once again remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will remember my towel to end.
So long, and thanks for all the fish. Section 31.